whiskey.
Welcome to the Whiskey Underground.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the BSEA Whiskey Underground. We're here tonight in our secret speakeasy to talk about some of the greatest and the best brown water of life, and that is whiskey. Joining me on this episode is my co-host, Brant. Brant, how's it going tonight?
Doing great, Scott. Doing great. Thanks for asking.
So tonight, tonight we were all set to record some other stuff. To try some bourbon, but you know what happens when you get stood up on a date? You can find someone else to take to the dance.
Hell yeah!
So tonight we're gonna take each other to dance, and we're gonna have some sherry cask finish whiskey. We've talked a lot about sherry and sherry cask finish whiskeys because, quite frankly, they make some fine whiskey.
Yeah, but the crazy thing is with sherry cask finish, you don't see it in bourbon all that much, right? I mean, bourbon you see in wine finishes and a couple different things, but for some reason sherry is not that commonly used in bourbon. I mean, there are some that are sherry staves in the barrel and things like that, but not tremendous. But
there's a couple of companies that are doing bourbon companies that are doing a sherry finish. Wyoming whiskey makes a really, really good one. I love that bottle. Like I've said on the show before, I like one of my favorite finishes or one of my favorite types of scotch is those that are sherry finished, like Macallan, like Glenfiddich. These are where I really enjoy that flavor. And it's weird because you've never had sherry wine, have you?
No. I think we were talking about that in a past episode, that it doesn't seem to be a very popular wine.
It's really not. It's more
in the kitchen, sort of, right? I mean, more kind of a cooking.
It was basically that, all right. So sherry, which is also pronounced in Spain, Jerez, is a fortified wine made from white grapes that are grown near Jerez, Spain. And then put into these smaller casks, these longer casks, and then fortified with fermented alcohol to kind of give it that really bold flavor. So it's an interesting way that they do it, and basically these casks are bottled and the sherry is actually put into the barrels. And then they use a Solera system before bottling. So basically, they empty half of that cask, right, and then fill it again. And then empty half of it and fill it again. And right, so they really don't have like a year-aged kind of thing with sherry. It's more so they get the flavor they want.
Yeah, just for the consistency. And I can't remember. There is kind of some limitation on how often you can do that before it just becomes irrelevant with those bottom casks. Those top ones are always getting the fresher, younger whiskey. Those bottom ones you're getting are old and getting the most fill and the big, the most whiskey in them. Can you imagine the work that has to go through, though? I don't know if you've ever seen one of these stacks, but I mean, it can be, there was one that I went to at the Bayou Rum Distillery down here in Lacassine, Louisiana, but they had probably 1,000 barrels in this Solera system, and I mean, I can't imagine whenever you got to change these bottom barrels out, it's just got to be, I mean, a pain in the ass to move all these things and rotate these barrels around. But they do it, and I mean, the outcome's obviously well worth it.
Now, sherry became very, very popular in Britain because Britain doesn't make wine; they're not wine producing. They're not a real wine producing country. So, in order to you know, saturate that market, what sherry or what sherry producers would do is they would ship their barrels, you know, the wine still in the barrel, ship it up to England, to Scotland. And that's where people started developing a taste for it. Now, there are, you know, there's tons of different types of sherry. The most famous ones are Oloroso, which is a, it's a rich, sweet sherry. And that's where you're going to get like those caramel, raisins, fig notes from that liqueur that's in there. It's usually around 18 to 20% alcohol, where, you know, most wines are about 12%. So you get a little bit of fortification from the added liqueur.
You tell me, because like I said, sherry is one of those things that I am not familiar with except for the finishing. But interesting. I know, like I said, there's a lot out there that I've drank, and I know it does a lot. You know, one of the things I guess I was going to say is it seems to lend itself super well to the single malts, to scotches, to Irish, mm-hmm. I mean, even Stranahan's has got a sherry malt in America. Sherry cask. And I don't know why that is. Why do you think it works best with those single malt whiskey versus...
I think it's because a lot of these Scottish single malts, you know, because it's malted barley, which lends it to those fruit flavors like apples and pears. Those kind of marry really well with the sweet notes that you get from Oloroso or Manzanilla or Pedro Jimenez sweet sherries. And that's the other one you really see a lot of, the PX. You'll see it on labels like Breckenridge Whiskey. They do a Pedro Jimenez cask finish, and it is unbelievable. I mean, it's one of the better bourbons that are aged in sherry casks. And that's where you get those like real sweet notes to it, those kind of like raisins and caramel notes that really shine.
Now, what's your research there, does it tell you kind of what the typical aging is on sherry cask wine? How long is this wine staying in these barrels, and how long are these barrels? Are they getting recycled, or is it one-time use, do you know, and then going straight into this?
So generally, it's sort of what you do with cognac, that Solera system where the barrel is kind of like emptied out, you know, 35% of the time, 35% is emptied out and they refill it. And then they 50% is emptied out and they refill it. So they have like different labels where there's sometimes a 20-year-old minimum. So that's VOS. And then if it's got a VORS, which is Vignum Optimum Rare Signatum, which means a really rare 30-year-old minimum in barrels. So it's not really there's not really a set aging like we have with bourbon, like we have with whiskey. It's more so they age it to the flavor they want it, to the color they want it, and then that's when they bottle it. So it's pretty interesting to see the difference in how they use sherry, and then when they're done with those casks, they're sent up to Scotland or around the world to be used for bourbon. And Macallan is a huge, huge purchaser of that.
Yeah,
a lot of their stuff is aged in sherry barrels.
So I'm looking at this kind of chart, like you're talking about, of all the different types. I mean, it looks like there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different types of sherry. I guess cask or different types of sherry wine, like you were saying. Oloroso. What did you say? Pedro Jimenez.
Pedro Jimenez, the sweet sherry.
Fino. I can't pronounce any of the rest of these, but yes, there's
Manzanilla.
Yeah.
And Amontillado.
And then Apollo Cortado. And, so and it tells you just the difference in all of them, and the different color too, I guess, that it lends to it. But I remember seeing these cask at Stranahan's, and they stuck out like a sore thumb compared to what a bourbon cask looked like. You know, typical bourbon cask, what everybody imagines a bourbon barrel looking like, but these sherry were bigger in size, they were longer, and it looked like the head of the barrel was almost thinner. They were really almost oval shaped barrels, had a really wide kind of belly and narrower to the head, whereas I guess bourbon you would think is just kind of this, you know, kind of very football shaped.
Yeah, standard wine barrel kind of thing.
Yeah, but these, honestly, these were kind of just like a weird, you know, weird kind of almost had an extra little ridge or point kind of in that center belly part, which was kind of neat. And they were dark, like super dark. And I'll try to post a picture of it in the group again so everybody can see that. But they stood out like crazy. Obvious that it was something different than what they were aging the whiskey in normally.
So, I mean, look, the reason that these casks are used is once they have been seasoned with sherry, they really take on a good flavor profile. And it's kind of like, the translation is kind of like, it's like cooking with a well-seasoned cast iron pan.
Okay.
When you've got one, or, I mean, like, I'm sure, Brent, you being in Louisiana, you got to have a good cast iron skillet, right?
Plenty. There's one sitting on the stove that Cindy made steak, rice, and gravy in tonight. So, I mean, it's get used a lot.
Exactly.
And it gets slightly washed every time because you don't want to take off the gris-gris, as we say.
Yeah. And you're and like the, you know, these barrels, they're not just giving up, you know, freely. That you're not going to just give that pan up freely. Someone's going to have to earn that down the road. And
it's going to be passed down. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And the nice thing is, you know, these casks virtually last forever. The way they're made, the way they're seasoned, they basically last forever. So the older you get, the better. So one of the first ones, we do want to actually taste some whiskey and not just talk. So let's break open the Abelor 12.
I know we're good at
Highland.
I know we're good at talking. I don't know how good we are at tasting. I think we're probably pretty good at tasting
whiskey. I'd like to think we're pretty decent here. So
Abelor first?
Let's get some Abelor in here.
So this is crazy because this is a... So on a whim, we did this, and we both happen to have this bottle on the shelf. So this is one that we both kind of acquired
this
naturally.
This is one that I really, really enjoy. It is a beautiful, beautiful color. It's this deep red, almost like a burnt orange color.
So before we get too deep into it, I always got to talk about it because I guess being in the industry and kind of marketing everything, the packaging on this is freaking superb. This bottle looks like the freaking Arnold Schwarzenegger of Scotch bottles. I mean, it's
oh, stout. It's beefy.
It's freaking
it's stout.
Beefy bottle. The cork and the pores is wider than a traditional cork, and the lip, the glass, the thickness around this the lip when you pull the cork out. I mean, it's like freaking, I don't know what it, that's a freaking quarter of an inch. You know. Shit,
oh, it's,
maybe thicker
it's
than
probably
that.
Silver dollar size.
It's freaking, but I mean the thickness of the glass rim is pretty insane. It's got Abelor Distillery on the back that's kind of popping out, established 1879. So pretty awesome. This is a owned by Pernod Ricard brand, mm-hmm. or I guess imported by Pernod Ricard brand in America. So. With some of the big boys, they also have Jameson Irish and Chivas Regal and Glenlivet. So it's in good company.
Yeah, so Abelor is a traditional Speyside Highland malt. They're right on the River Spey there in Scotland. It is it's pretty old distillery. Like Brian said, 1879. They've been doing some really, really wonderful whiskeys over the years. Abelor 12 actually takes two different barrels. So they take sherry cask barreled whiskey. So whiskey that spent its entire time in sherry cask. And then whiskey that spent its entire time in traditional oak ex-bourbon barrels. And then they kind of marry each other in a last cask before they finish up and go into the bottle.
And I mean, I love that, having that full length age in the two different barrels, and then you kind of got that that blender, you know, that master blender that's creating this. I mean, it's not a blend, I guess, so to say, but since it is, I mean, just a single malt, but creating, I guess, that perfect marriage between the traditional oak ex-bourbon and the sherry cask on this. I mean, I think that's pretty cool. Versus like a Stranahan's, we talk about American whiskey is aged in oak and then its final few months is in sherry just as it's finished in sherry. But this one actually has 12 years of aging in sherry.
Now this one, as you look at it, it's got that, you know, that ruby gold color to it that the sherry barrels add, that dark dark whiskey.
It definitely has that reddish, like you said, ruby tint to it. I mean, you can see the main color. I mean, would be described as golden, but when you hold it up, you can see some of that red kind of ruby tint.
Yeah, that really shines well in the light. Love the color on it. The nose, Brent, what do you get?
I mean, you know it's a single malt, but I definitely get way more of the fruits, way more dried fruit, way more. I mean, it's got kind of some, I don't know if I want to say like nutty spice to it, but I mean, I can definitely tell dried fruit. Still kind of get the malted barley, kind of classic single malt smell, but this one kind of seems to have lots of dark, you know, dark and ripe fruit to me.
This has classic Speyside, and you get that sweet red apple, pears, but then you also get, as you're smelling it, you get those light plums, raisins, all of those stuff that really do well in a sherry whiskey. It's not as malty.
No, it's not. It's there. It's there, but it's not. Drinking a single malt scotch has just been it lived its life in European oak. That malt is like super up front. This one is there, but it's not nearly as overpowered malty. Like I said, I think you get a lot more depth in this.
Definitely. Smells kind of, birthday cake like. It's got a little sweetness from like frosting.
Yeah. All right. And this is it's crazy because this is the youngest of this mm-hmm. group from this distiller. And this is, this thing smells super complex.
And on the taste, it does. It's definitely complex. And you taste all of those same notes that you smell. So this is one, oftentimes, when you drink a whiskey, when you smell it, you're going to smell different flavors than what you're actually tasting. Everything that you smell on the nose, those apples, raisins, the sherry fruits, they come right through. A little watered down, I'll say that. It's bottled at 40%. So
it is light.
You can tell it's light, but not overly watered down. Like, I think this would be beautiful at 46%.
Yeah, a little hotter. I mean, it's definitely softened because of that, which makes it, we're both drinking it neat. And, I mean, I wouldn't say it has much burn. I mean, I let it sit on my tongue for a good while, and it's totally enjoyable. It's not anything that's overpowering, but I get kind of this, like I said, this pepper nut, like this kind of nutty pepper kind of flavor to it to me. But I mean, I still smell those dry citrus and dry fruit.
I feel like it's like almost like nutmeg.
Yeah.
Like almost like a white pepper and nutmeg.
Yeah. And I'm not the best at pinpointing all the fruits in there, but I don't know. It's kind of got that. I don't know. Can't even tell you. You said like red apple. It's not like the cherry, but it's just got kind of this. I don't know. It seems like, I don't know why it wants to be like a red fruit.
Like a plum.
Yeah.
Like yeah. There's a little bit of plum on the back end of that. On the finish, you get those like sweet, but rich fruits like plums and raisins. I enjoy this. I like this one a lot.
It's great. It's so different how the casking can change the flavors, right? I mean, just like I said, a recent episode we had where it was super, we had something that was floral and green apple, and then you taste just something that's just a still same single malt, malted barley, but just the finishing just totally changes the flavoring, the delivery of that, delivery of that liquid.
Like, as you drink this, the more you drink it, you still get a little bit of that heat. So while it's 40%, it does have a little bit of heat on it, which is nice. It's really good. It's a solid whiskey.
See, I definitely can smell red apple.
Mm-hmm.
As I kind of dig into it and I've tasted it a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit of that red apple really shines. Really shines. I like that a lot.
I guess but even at, you know, I know we kind of complain about it being bottled at this lower proof, but even at this proof, I mean, I think it's something that you can enjoy. It's a good sipper. It's nothing that you gotta water down, wait for it to open up. I mean, pour it in the glass, give it a sip, give it a swirl. And I mean, it's an enjoyable whiskey at 80 proof.
Yeah, it's you know, the two wood maturation process they have going on here definitely shows off both casks. So you, like the traditional oak, you get those usual notes, the leather, the grain notes, the malty notes.
I don't get near as much leather out of this being a double cask than that Macallan double cask.
Oh, that's like a leather jacket. We talked about that on our very, very first episode.
Now, is that European oak and sherry?
That is European oak and sherry.
Yeah, same.
Very, very same. Same process.
And also, I want to say it's also a 12-year age. Same process, right?
Yep, absolutely. Pretty much the same process. What they do is they have two different barrels. They marry together afterwards. I would.
So Speyside, though, versus Highland?
It's all the same. Speyside is Highland. Highland is Speyside. It's all marketing at that point.
Well, there you go. There you go. Got me.
Highland sounds really fancy, you know, and it invokes the spirit of, like, you know, Mel Gibson. And, you know, William Wallace. It definitely has that fancier connotation to it. Speyside doesn't, but Speyside is Highland. Highland is Speyside.
All right.
It's like, is Texas part of the United States? Yes.
Right. But you're still going to Texas. You can sell the fact that you're going to Texas.
Yeah, exactly. Like, all Speysides are Highland malts.
Right.
It's just what you want to call yourself. Okay. And maybe Speyside just doesn't have that connotation. Like, Macallan is a Speyside whiskey, but they call themselves Highland malt because it just sounds better.
I like it.
This is good. Now, it's not overly pricey. I think it's about anywhere between $45 and $55 usually.
Yeah, I think it's definitely an affordable bottle. I mean, like I said, this is a great double cask. This is a great double cask. I'll tell you, I think it drinks easier than Macallan double cask, but I don't think it's near as exciting and complex as Macallan double cask.
I tend to agree with you there. I think the Macallan has just a little more complexity, a little more bite to it, a little more heat. And you just, with the double cask, you just get a few more notes than you do with the Abelor 12. You get a few more fun notes in there than the Abelor 12.
So I'm going to tell you this one, and we'll come back to it and kind of pair it off against the next one. But I don't score this bad, but I score it under an 8. It's definitely not a grand. This wouldn't be a grand champion show horse.
No, I mean, if I'm giving this I like to give grades out of 100, because if you do out of 10, it's a big jump between an 8 and a 9. If I'm giving this out of 100. I probably give it like an 80, 81. At most, 80, 81 at most.
I'm not, wouldn't be that. I'd be in the mid to upper 70s. I'm thinking it's a 77.
It's good, not great.
Like I said, it is easy drinking. No doubt about it. But from what I just remember, that double cast Macallan knocking my socks off, and I may have to just take a little dram of it whenever we wrap up here to kind of compare it.
You know, when we're finished, you know, we'll put that aside. I'm going to put that aside, put a cover on mine. Let's move on to the next one, and then maybe we'll come back and we'll pour a little dram of double cask. We'll let Jeeves pour that for us.
There you go. Got him working overtime tonight.
Yep. Well, he's still hurt over last episode. So the next one we're going to go a little bit of Irish here. Now, Irish doesn't have too many finished casks, unlike Scotch. You know, Scotch, they do a lot of finishing, a lot of different casks in those. This is Redbreast Loustow Edition. So this is aged in normal oak casks, and then they took sherry casks from Bodegas Loustow and brought them over to Ireland. And these are Oloroso sherry seasoned cask finish whiskey. So this is a different style. What they do is they basically take their Redbreast Irish whiskey, and then put it into sherry casks and finish it in that. So this is, you know, a number of years. And again, this is a no age statement. So they take it for a number of years in regular oak, and then put them in Oloroso sherry and Spanish oak. And they kind of have the last word to finish this off.
So it's reported 9 to 12 in traditional bourbon, and then an additional complete year in first fill hand selected cherry butts, mm-hmm. seasoned with the finest little sherry. So that's pretty cool. That's definitely different than what we just drank. So this one's got the majority of its life in that bourbon cask, like traditional. I'm assuming Redbreast 12 would be right.
Yeah,
and then the finish is what makes this different. So Redbreast, you know, I sell Redbreast as one of the brands that we represent, and actually I want to say it's also Pernod Ricard. So that's kind of funny we got both of these on here. But when this, you know, I didn't really know much about Redbreast except it was an Irish whiskey, and then the more I start selling it and seeing it, it's kind of like it's still got that boutique vibe, but it's like, it's good, you know, good solid Irish whiskey. They make a 12 year, they make several of them, like some higher marks that are hard to get. And actually, this was kind of a rare release that whenever they launched this, we didn't even get to taste it. So this is gonna be my actual first taste of this, the Loustow edition, which is pretty freaking neat. And I gotta tell you, I went all in. I just poured the entire little sample bottle you sent me. I just fucking went all in on it.
This
is insane on the nose. Holy geez.
I know. It is very complex on the nose. Now, I had no idea what Redbreast was until about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, when I got introduced to the Whiskey Vault. And they raved on Redbreast 12 as a great Irish whiskey. Never really had Irish whiskey other than Jameson and Bushmills. And I took a little bit of Redbreast 12, and I was just... I was in love. It is a wonderful, wonderful whiskey. And when I saw that they were coming out with this Loustow, I immediately got a bottle of it, because anything sherry cask is okay by me. I love it.
Yeah. So whenever you're looking, I mean, on the Redbreast website, you know, this talk about the story of Redbreast. So it's the largest single pot still Irish whiskey in the world. So one single pot still creates all of their whiskey, which is pretty damn impressive.
It's and they still do the traditional Irish copper pot still.
Yeah.
So traditional Irish style, little bit of malted barley and some unmalted barley. Because the reason that Irish whiskey uses unmalted barley is because the British would tax the Irish on their malted barley. So basically, as a big FU to the man, the Irish stopped malting their barley. And they said, fine, screw it, we'll do it unmalted. We don't need it. And they would make their own style of whiskey. And it really has a different flavor to it. It's got that classic butter cookie. You know, those butter biscuits, as I call them. Because they're biscuits. Not cookies.
Right,
yeah, biscuits,
over there, they're biscuits.
Not biscuits. Cookies. Really, it tastes like shortbread cookies. And this has those on the nose. It's, you get that classic Irish buttered biscuit with, again, here's where the apples come in. You get a little bit of the apples and some citrus, the candied orange.
I taste that. I smell spice. I do still smell a lot of toasted oak, I guess, from living it so much in that charred bourbon barrel. But dark fruits, fig, like, I mean, it kind of brings me to, it's kind of crazy, brings me to my childhood. It smells like a Fig Newton cookie. And you talk about that shortbread and fig. Like, yep. It smells like a Fig Newton cookie.
Fruit and cake.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that was like my childhood was eating Fig Newtons.
This is Fig Newtons in a glass. And it is absolutely delicious.
All right, I'm going to go for a taste.
Did you ever get that combo pack where it was like some apple, some fig? That's what this is.
That's pretty fucking good.
That is awesome. On that, you get those vanilla aroma right as soon as that goes in your mouth. And that's where you get the bourbon. You totally get the bourbon on this one.
It definitely drinks like a bourbon. What's this one proofed at? Because this one's definitely tastes a little hotter.
It's hotter. It's 46, and that's why I said I think that Abelor 12 would have been better cast or better bottled at 46%.
Yeah, just
not. I think you need a little bit of that heat.
Yeah, it's just not cut. I mean, you can always cut it yourself down if need be. But yeah, this thing I still can't get over the nose of this thing. I'll have to go back in for another taste, but the nose of this is just stunning.
It really is. I enjoy this. You know, Redbreast does, their master blender, Billy Layton, has done some amazing things with Redbreast over the last few years. He's really brought it to the forefront because, again, it was not, it's very common in Ireland. It was not very well known here. And he started doing some things with it, making these, the 15 edition. The cast strength edition of 12 is amazing. If you really want probably the best breast, and that is Redbreast 12 cast strength.
Say that again.
The best breast is Redbreast.
Okay.
That should be a marketing slogan for them. Yeah. You're welcome, Redbreast.
If you want the best breast, it's Redbreast. Exactly. Yeah, so there's a 15, there's a 21. I can't imagine Redbreast 21. Holy shit.
There's a 30.
There's a 30.
Oh yeah. I've seen 30 out there. It's expensive. It's rare. But they have 30.
I'm getting ready to check and see if we even have of this. Cause this is so we have the 15, we have 21 blue style and just the regular. Yes. I mean, man, 21 is going to be over a $250 bottle.
Honestly, at 21 years, anything over, you're gonna expect to pay over $200 for a 21-year-old whiskey.
Oh, for sure.
At $250, it's a little pricey. I mean,
it's gonna be over $250. I can tell you, it's probably gonna be. This would probably be in the two. This may be a $299 retail bottle.
And yeah, and that's a high price for 21. I mean. Again, I always go back to one of my favorites that I just got is the Glendronach 21. Also, that spends all 21 years in Oloroso and Pedro Jimenez sherry casks. All 21 years.
It's married?
Married, yeah.
Yeah.
It is. That is some of the darkest whiskey I've ever drank.
Yeah, you showed us that. That was that's crazy dark.
I'm going to have to send you. I'm going to have to send you that. We'll have to review that on the show. This is good. This is really, really a good whiskey. And between the two, I much prefer the Redbreast Loose Style.
Well, this is hands down of the two right there. I'm actually going to try. I'm going to try to hit it with a little.
With some water?
Yeah. A little spring water and see.
Yeah, I'm going to do the same here. I'm going to put some water in here because I feel like this will open up better than the Abelor 12. Oh, it does. It brings out those orange notes right to the front. Like I get like burnt orange on that. Like caramelized orange.
See, just a little water, I mean, softens it up so much. See, I think I can taste that fig, that date kind of dried fruit. Would it cut a little bit? That's good.
Oh, man. That is... Add just a little tiny bit of water to that. It smoothens any of those harsh peppery notes that you were getting. Just smoothens them right out.
See, and I agree, and it just shows a difference in palate too. But I can taste the peppery notes better. They're not harsh, but I can taste.
They're not harsh.
That
you can taste them. Yeah. It's almost it almost becomes like it takes black pepper and turns it into like white pepper. That much more mellow pepper. By the way, it's not Redbreast 30; it's 32. And that was just a very very small small bottling that they did for that. It was not readily available.
I would bet that's insane.
If you're listening, Redbreast, I would dream to taste your 32-year-old dream cask.
Is that what it was, the dream cask?
The dream cask, yeah.
I saw that on the website, but I didn't really know what it was. Looks like it's a smaller bottle, too. Looks like it must be like a, I don't know.
A 350?
Yeah, or something smaller. Limited edition, 32-year-old, single pot still Irish whiskey. Joined the family on May 19th. World Whiskey Day. Exclusively through the Birdhouse. Sold out now.
Oh, yeah. It was sold out.
Yeah. I wonder how much. Well, it came like a little purple velvet sack.
Yeah, it did.
Wonder how much that was going for, huh?
Oh, I'd probably say it's upwards of the... It's probably close to $1,000. Probably, I mean, talk about a 32-year-old... A 32-year-old Macallan... Will run you $2,000 to $3,000, about $2,000. A thirty-year-old Macallan will run you about $2,000, $2,500.
Macallan, upwards of 25 for Macallan, 30, wholesale is $2,500.
Yeah, so about $2,500 to $3,000 on the market.
Macallan, then up from there, Macallan's well, what we have. There's a 50?
Yeah, that's 20, the James Bond edition.
28,000?
Yep.
62 Laqui for 20. And a 65 Laqui for, how do you say it?
Lalique. Yeah. When you buy that Lalique, so that's the Lalique crystal container. You're getting an actual decanter
crystal
with
decanter,
it.
Yeah. But 29,000 for the 65. Yeah.
they're pricey.
Lalique?
Yeah, Lalique Crystal.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's fucking up there. This is
amazing. This is really, really good.
Yep, so tangent aside, back to the best breast.
Yeah. Of these two, I'm going Redbreast.
Oh.
All day. All day, every day.
All day. Yeah, all day. I mean, this would be... I mean, this is an upper 80s for me. 88, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I'd say this is definitely in the high 80s. I would be generous with this and probably give it an 88, 89. Definitely. Very, very good. You want to get Jeeves over here and have him pour some Macallan?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Come on, Jeeves. Get that 12 double cask. We want to try that. It's a good thing we pay him well.
He had to move a bunch of bottles to get to that.
Well, I told him to keep it hidden. You know, when we have guests over here, we don't like them to pry too much. I mean, we want them to pry, but not too much. Okay. Yeah, this is so much richer than the Abelor 12, right off the nose.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, it's like...
It's so much more... it just smells oily right off the front of it. It smells more full.
Yeah, it's... that leather spice. Like you said, it's oily. It tastes it tastes and smells like wet wood, like just that dark, deep. I mean, like I said, the leather, the spice, the leather, the darkness is crazy.
And this one's at 43%. So right off there, you know, right off that, just that extra 3%, it does wonders for the whiskey. It really does. Abelor, I love you. I do. But don't water it down so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. And these, now the Macallan 12 and the Abelor 12 are right around the same price. Low 50s. They're not going to run you too much. Macallan 12. All day.
Ah, yeah.
Macallan 12 is... That is so much more of a whiskey than Abelor 12. And I like both of them. I really do. Because Abelor is kind of a sherry bomb. I mean, they really do a good job with their sherry. But this one... This one is just too mellow.
So I got it at about $9 more than Abelor, the Macallan.
Really?
So, yeah.
See,
48 and 57.
Okay, yeah. For me in the store, Macallan 12 is generally around 51 to 54.
Wow. It's a good price.
It is a good price, and it's a good whiskey for that price. Man.
Yeah, but... I mean, still, even at that price disparity, Macallan just wins. I'm interested now to taste the triple cask 12.
Oh, their new one.
The new one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm super interested because it was a 10. Now it's a 12. I want to see what that difference is going to make.
They're essentially taking the 10, aging it for two more years, and marrying it with the double cask.
And calling it triple and not calling it fine.
Yeah.
Fine oak, you know.
Very interesting. I mean, they're doing some interesting things at Macallan, which normally what you've seen in the last year or so is that companies are getting away from age statement whiskeys. And Macallan is too, don't get me wrong. Macallan tried to last year. They tried really hard to get away from age statement whiskeys, and they put out the amber and the gold.
I think when this was launched, it did not have an age statement.
It did not.
The first version of this did not have an age statement. The double cask. I'm pretty sure it was just Macallan double cask.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it did, it was like a small banner on the bottom of the bottle that said 12 year, but it was not branded as a 12 year.
No, and look, I love Macallan, but that Macallan amber is shit. It is terrible. And I'm glad to see that they are sticking to their guns and saying, you know what? When everyone else is taking age statements off because they're running out of whiskey to produce, we're going to stick with it. And we're going to continue our traditions, and we're going to stand fast and hold the market, and we're not going to be pressured into doing things we don't have to do. And I applaud Macallan for that.
They don't have to do shit. That company is doing quite well.
Yeah. Oh, man. All three of these, you know, we've reviewed the double cask
now.
Yeah, we've reviewed the double cask a lot. I would say, actually, tell me what you think between the Abelor 12 and Macallan 12.
I think, like I said, the Abelor and my prediction is about right. The Abelor drinks softer. Drinks easier, softer on the palate, easy drinker, but it's not near as complex and intricate. The flavors of the Macallan double cask, it goes a lot deeper into that sherry, and a lot deeper into that European oak, fill. You know, you can taste, it's like, you know, that thing, it's like the Abelor is right down the center of the street, and then the Macallan is just like, you know, an H1 Hummer, and it takes like, it's lane to lane, like it just takes all of everything you have to offer, you know. It's I don't know, it's different. They're both going in the same direction, but the Macallan just gets more of what you're looking for out of the sherry, out of the European oak, than the Abelor. And maybe it's proofing. Maybe it's just the technique and they age it. Maybe it's warehousing. I don't know what it is, but being, you know, being a single malted barley scotch in the same type of cask, the Macallan is far superior.
Yeah, I mean, go back and smell these two together, and I mean, the Abelor, you smell more of those like light fruits, like the pear and the red apple, really shines on that. But the Macallan just has that richness, that, you know, leather jacket, yep, smoking pipe, Abelor tobacco.
Abelor is brighter. Those fruits are brighter. The red apple is brighter.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But you get a whole... it's crazy how much more I feel like you get of the wood, the darkness, the depth, and that Macallan double cask. But
you do.
I like it.
You really do.
Somebody's not telling the truth.
someone's thumbing their nose at the man and saying, "Yeah, we're not going to tell you everything about this, and we're not going to give you all the details." I like the Macallan 12 a lot better.
Right.
Now between the Redbreast, now this is where it gets interesting, because these are two different types of whiskey, Irish and Scottish, and I think again the Macallan is a little fruitier. It's a little sweeter, and between drinking the two like back to back, the pepper notes really shine in that Redbreast.
Yeah, so I like the Redbreast. I mean, mm-hmm. Look, I think I told you before, Macallan kind of was one of my introductions into whiskey, so I'm a Macallan fanboy. But this Redbreast, I think, drinks more like a traditional Irish or a bourbon, being so long in those kind of bourbon charred barrels, oak barrels, and then just being finished in sherry versus being matured in sherry. I think it does a little bit to the finish. I think that kind of added some of that fig and that kind of sugar cookie you're talking to.
Yeah, the buttered buttered biscuit.
Yeah,
or buttered shortbread biscuit.
Yeah, there you go. And I like it. I mean, I think for it, if I was going to pour myself a full glass and sit down and enjoy it, out of the three of these, which the Macallan's the wild card, I like this Redbreast loose style edition. This is
I do
awesome.
Too.
Awesome.
I do too. I love Redbreast. It's definitely, you know, after comparing it with the Macallan, they're definitely two different whiskeys. I think you can compare Macallan and Abelor better than you can Redbreast. And Redbreast just drinks so, again, at 46%, it drinks really easy for that high of a proof.
Yeah, super smooth.
Which 46% for bourbon is not high proof. 46% for scotch is the higher proof.
Right. Most of them are traditionally
40.
Yeah, 80.
Yeah. I really like this. I really like the way that Redbreast has done the finish, and you get those, you know, good bourbon notes, the caramel and the sweetness to it, but then you get that Irish whiskey background on it, and it's just phenomenal.
Yep. I agree. That's my clear cut winner for the night for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. If you want to go out and get a bottle of the Redbreast loose style, definitely do so. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, absolutely. You're not going to be disappointed in
not
that,
at all.
In the least bit.
Not at all. So look, you know, Brant, it was nice to meet up here. You know,
chance meeting, man.
Chance meeting, yeah. Chance meeting. We met down here. We were supposed to have a third with us, but, you know,
I was going to say, what's the chance that both of our dates stood us up, you know?
I know, right? They stood us up.
The same night in the same place.
It's all right, Kay.
Kay.
You know, may your time here in the Secret Speakeasy be educational and enjoyable. And so tonight, as we leave you with our clear-cut winner, which I think is Redbreast.
Absolutely.
Let's end with our club mission statement here.
Yeah, man.
So if you came here to learn,
drink what you've learned.
And if you came here to share
what you drink, especially if it's this Redbreast.
Definitely share that.
Share that.
And if you came in here a stranger,
may you exit a friend.
And if you came in here for adventure,
drink up. Cheers.
Mm. Oh, do share that.
I know. I gotta, good night, everyone. Get some more of that.
That is really good.
Mm-hmm.